Peniel was the fifth encounter that Jacob had with the Lord. On Wednesday night, we spoke on a portion of the Peniel experience. Peniel being a Hebrew word. And several things transpired at this encounter with the Lord. And one of the things that we took notice of is the fact that God wrestled with Jacob. It wasn't Jacob that took it up with God. It was God that took it up with Jacob. The Bible says that the spirit lusteth against the flesh, as the King James. The literal translation means that the Holy Spirit is an enmity and fights with the carnal man. You see, we have several people wrapped into one package, a little bit like the Godhead, because he said, let's make man like us, okay? And so there is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit, there's the Father, and there's the Son, which is the body of the Godhead, because it was made flesh and became flesh like man. So that's the body of the Godhead. Then there's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the Father. Well, in the same way God made us, and we are a spirit. Now, that's a real man. That's a real person. That's a real you. When that leaves you, you're just going to look like a piece of wax in a box somewhere. And although everything's intact there, that's just your body that you left behind. And so your body is meant to express your spirit. And so what we don't understand is that the Holy Spirit doesn't fight with our spirit. The Holy Spirit is an enmity with a carnal mind, with a carnal man, because our body wants to live for itself. It wants things for itself. It wants to live in unbridled passions. It wants to live in unbridled eating. It wants to eat all the pie and cake and ice cream all day long, every day, and soda pops and everything else, and avoid diseases and avoid problems. And it can't happen. We don't want to exercise. We don't want to do the things that we need to do. The body has lusts. And these lusts are strong passions, are strong appetites for the sensual, for entertainment, for the emotional, for excitement, for eating, for all types of pleasure. That's why when we can't have enough pleasure, we go on drugs and substances and abuse them to know the outer limits of any kind of pleasure that we can get our hands or body into. And it says that once we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, and He wrestles with us. He fights with us. Now, this fight, this enmity that there is between the Holy Spirit and our carnal flesh, is the battle that Jacob was having, and that is what the Peniel experience is partially about. Because a Peniel experience is God wrestling with you. It's not us wrestling with God, except for when God puts the brakes on something that you want, then we fight with Him. But who initiates the fight? God does. Now, I want you to look with me, if you will, in Genesis 32:24. For then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, why do you think a man that was trying to wrestle with him could not prevail? Remember Wednesday night we said, what's the purpose of wrestling different than boxing? Is to pin you down, to get you to surrender, to put you back on the ground and say, uncle. Now the Holy Spirit wrestles with us until we surrender, till we consecrate our life and our body, a living sacrifice for God to use and live in instead of us and the devil. So God wrestles with us. The whole purpose of wrestling is to get us to be pinned down till we give up. But not give up hope, not give up faith, not give up anything, but just surrender. Surrender to His will. Now that's as far as we got. And now we're going to go on just a little bit more. And it says here that when he saw that he couldn't prevail, he weakened him. He touched him in the hollow of his thigh and put his hip out of socket. And so Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. As he, the angel or the Lord, wrestled with him, Jacob. Verse 26. And he said, that is the Lord, the angel, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, who's wrestling who? God started. The Holy Spirit is an enmity with our flesh. He's at war with our flesh to subdue its passions, to crucify them, to immobilize them, to get them to not be able to do what you want to do. Drive you crazy any way He can, through conviction. He'll drive you crazy by putting preachers in your way and preaching things they ain't not to preach. Putting you on the spot, making a few consequences show through, and whoops, there's a child I didn't mean to have out of wedlock. Now you got to deal with a problem. God will do anything he has to do. Sometimes he has to hurt you. That's why there's children out of wedlock. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to put your hip out of socket. Sometimes he's got to weaken you. He's got to hurt you because we fight with God. He initiates the fight, but he has a right. We gave our life to the Lord. We say, Lord, you gave your life for me. I'm going to what? Button up your lip. Don't you dare say it. Because once you say it, God says, I'm going to take you back to the place where you made a vow with me, and I'm a God that keeps the vows, and I expect you to keep your vow. You said that if I'd give you my life, you would give me yours. I want the living sacrifice. I want your body presented to me as a living sacrifice. And when we don't, he wrestles with us. He says, this is mine. I say, no, it's mine. No, this week it's mine. No, it isn't. You don't have no week for yours. I want to use your body. I want my will to be done through your body. And so there's two people wrestling inside like twins inside of the womb of a mother. The Holy Spirit's in enmity with your flesh. Your flesh wants this, it wants that. And God said, no. So finally, the flesh says, all right, if I got to give this up, if I've got to do what you want to do, I got to get something out of this. How many have been there? The Holy Spirit wrestles with us. And every once in a while, he'll weaken you. He'll weaken you to where you're not strong enough to do your own thing. Don't we all live this way? I'm strong, don't do it. When we were a little kid and mama wanted to help us do it, no, I can do it. When we were teenagers, don't tell me what to do, I can do it. I know what to do. When we're an adult, now God gets in on the picture. See, I put up with this with my parents for 12 years. Now I got to put up with you for the rest of my life. Telling me what I can do, what I can't do, when I can do it, when I can't do it. Don't you know we live in America? We have our own will. We can live the way we want to. God wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob represents God's people on the earth. That's us. Jacob's us. Jacob's us. God says, I'm Jacob's God. I'm your God. I'm the God of Jacob. And so the God of Jacob wrestled with him. Because Jacob wanted to take everything in his own hands, and he'd done all kinds of things. He'd put his family up ahead. He'd done okay. Until the very last moment that he was left alone, he was still trying to work things out. Just like we are. So God had to weaken him. Listen, I know that some have the philosophy that only the devil does nasty things and God does good, but you better be sure that you know what nasty is and what good is before you start judging who might have been behind it. Because I have learned through Scripture and through life that God can lay a lot of stuff on you that you might have thought the devil did, and you can pray all you want to and rebuke the devil all you want to, but the Holy Spirit will go up to the Father and say, I'm confused here. I'm being rebuked every day of my life and called the devil. God doesn't love me anymore. He let a consequence come through. I've got immune disease. I've got herpes. I've got hepatitis 1. I'm in trouble. I need God. God, where were you when I needed you? Where were you keeping me healthy while I lived high life of flesh? God said, I'll tell you where I was. I was wrestling with you and you still did that. So I touched the thigh of your socket. I hurt you. So you'd start listening. That's not the kind of life you're going to live while I'm living in you. You're going to stop living that life because I'm going to hurt you. And I have a message for some of us, and it's going to be a very short one, but right to the point. God will hurt you. If you wrestle with the Holy Spirit that's wrestling with you to try to get you to a life you need, he will hurt you. However, God says, I am a God that wounds, and I am a God that... One thing about the devil, when he hurts you, he never has in mind to heal you. He never has in mind to restore you, but God is a restoring God. He'll take the consequences that should have followed you the rest of the life and reverse the AIDS. He can reverse all the consequences, the children that are out there that shouldn't have come into the world. All these things that God ends up having to take on himself, he takes them on himself and he makes it up to you if you will surrender to him and say, all right, Lord, I surrender to your Holy Spirit and will do what you want me to do. God will keep hurting you until you get the message. And when you get the message, he will heal you. Although Jacob limped to remind him of that moment. And let me say this, that Jacob could never forget that one encounter, number five. Five is the number of grace. He forgot a lot of them because God had to come back and remind him of Bethel. But God did not have to remind Jacob ever of Peniel. He remembered that experience with God for the rest of his life. You know why? Because he limped for the rest of his life. Every time he limped, every time he came into the room, his family remembered he'd been alone that night with God. And he'd been wrestling with God. Every time somebody looks at that illegitimate child that's growing up out there remembers that it has a name that has yours. And if it didn't have your name because you were real sweet about how you covered up your tracks, it looks just like you. There's some encounters with God you will never forget. God doesn't want to deal that way with us, but yes, He will fight with our flesh. You have to know that from the moment God comes into your heart, He starts fighting with your flesh. Your flesh must be subdued in the way we eat, in what you do with your body, who you give it to, and what you are doing with your life. And the Holy Spirit's telling me that there's two people here today that God is warning, if you don't stop what you are doing, the Holy Spirit's going to hurt you, and you're going to wear your hurt. And He's also telling me to tell you that you're already wearing some of that hurt where He's hurt you before. And it's going to be worse this time. Now, I'm also going to pour oil into this. He will also heal you when you surrender. He will turn around and He will make good to you. Why He does this, I don't know. Because we had it coming. If you get hurt because you went to war, you had it coming, okay? But He will heal you. He will pick you up again. He will restore you as if none of that happened. And what's best, He will not allow anyone to disgrace you for anything that He had to touch you over. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That although we dispose our ways, that God is the one that actually makes it happen. You can plan all you want, but God's the one that makes things happen. And so we need to give more credit to the Holy Spirit in the life of all Christians. He will work with you on something and work with you on something and work and fight with you and fight with you. Some people think that Peniel is just meeting God face to face. That's part of Peniel. I haven't gotten to that part yet. We're going to get to that maybe in the next message next Sunday on meeting God face to face and what that means, because that's the main calling for us. And Peniel has a very beautiful side to it. But before I get to the beautiful side, I want to make really sure that we know that Peniel isn't just the beautiful side of meeting God face to face, crying a little bit in church, feeling His presence, because that is Peniel. But Peniel is also God fighting with us. Peniel is also God wrestling with us until He gets your stubborn will to yield to His and allow Him to use your body, because you weren't put into this world to do what you want to do with that body. It belongs to God. He purchased it with a great price. He bought you back. He redeemed you. He paid for the ransom for you to be taken out of the hands of the devil that had nothing but destruction and hurt for you without ever the hope of healing, not now and not forever. You would have stood in those places of darkness or prisons or in the lake of fire for the rest of your existence if He had His way with you. But someone came and paid the ransom. Now that you're here at home, at least do what they want you to do, because you wouldn't even be to do if He hadn't paid the price. So I'm here to tell you that part of the real Peniel experience, as we have known it throughout all the years, has these words that are very frequently used: repentance, confession of sin, surrendering a life to God, and consecration. You're going to hear these words a lot where there's a church that lives up to a name like ours that's on the building, Peniel. You see, Peniel was a definite encounter that Jacob had with God. And it's God wrestling with flesh. It's God wrestling with a man who up till then had done things the way he wanted to. He'd even gypped his father, connived his brother, deceived his father-in-law, and on and on and on and on and on. And God started to hurt him. The first hurt was that when he woke up after the marriage night in the bed with a woman that he did not love. That was the first time God hurt him. God made it up to him. The best children of God in the world were those born from that relationship that God put in his way. So as far as God's concerned, he made it up to him. The kings, the princes, and the great men of God, prophets, judges, and kings came out of that marriage relationship that he woke up the next morning with, gasped, and from then on drove her crazy and hated her and despised her. God hurt him. God said, I want you to know what it feels like to be deceived. That's what your daddy felt like before he died. That's what your brother feels like back there crying out to me why his heart has a hole cut out of it that no one can heal. Jacob, I want you to live a life for me and quit living this life of the flesh. Give the flesh up and surrender it to me. You see, this is what Peniel is all about. Sooner or later, when you come to a place like this, you're going to find out what true Peniel is. We call that fifth experience that Jacob had Peniel because that's what he said. And I'll read that verse to you so that you know. But I just didn't want to get there first because I want to go on from where we left off on Wednesday night. There was a lot of opposition from the enemy on Wednesday night. I got the message out, but not the spirit of the message. But today, the spirit of the message is getting out on that same message. And what is it? That God's wrestling with you, and the whole purpose is give it up. Give it up. Give up that life of flesh that you want to live. Give up that life of flesh that doesn't want to get up in the morning, that doesn't want to do this, that doesn't want to do that, doesn't want to exercise, don't want to discipline, don't want anything, just want to do what you want to do. Give it up, because the Holy Spirit's going to wrestle with you. And I'm here to tell you on behalf of the Lord that not only is He going to wrestle with you, He's going to hurt you until you stop fighting and bucking Him over everything He wants out of your life. He's going to get what He wants out of your life. But I want to tell you, for those that just feel like Jesus is sweet and the devil's nasty, you better read your Bible. Because God can get pretty nasty too. The only thing is that because He has such a sweet, beautiful nature, that after He wounds, He can't stand to see wounded. So He wants to heal right away. He's like this daddy that when He has to spank you, tell you that He has to spank you, but then put you on His knee and loves you because He wants you to feel that comfort. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be well. It's not you He's really fighting with. It's your flesh. If you just give it up, He wouldn't have to fight with you. And so we're going to have to understand that God is going to continue that. Now, you can leave this church, say, you know what? I just decided this morning that Pinal isn't the right church for me. Well, I want to say this to you. Pinal doesn't just take place with the churches that have the name on the board outside. It happens with everyone that's Jacob, everyone that signed a contract with God, that they would exchange his life for theirs. And they said, God, come into my heart and live here and do what you want to. If you'll bail me out of this, whatever you want. God listens. And He remembers. He's worse than an elephant. He'll remember what you said 100 years ago. Don't be foolish when you speak to God. You better really mean it, because He's going to come back and make good what you said. But most of us, He's brought us to the place where you had no choice. It was either die in hell forever or receive His life, accept His Holy Spirit, and allow Him to live through you while you're on life. Listen, it's like I said on Sunday, it's only a short while that we have to live a life for God, and then we have heaven forever. What's the point in living for the flesh for just a few years here and then frying forever? That's not a good deal, okay? So we have a good deal. Thank God that He wrestles with us. Thank God that He fights with us. Thank God that He doesn't give up on you. Thank God that somebody's calling you on the phone. Thank God that somebody's requiring of you that you do what you need to do and won't just let you go. Amen? Because God has His police force out there. He has people that will bug you. And I know I'm number one bug here. I'm bugging now. God's saying to some of you, need to, just like the Lord talked to you about your tithe, the Lord's talking to you about your flesh. The Lord's saying, I want to subdue your flesh and I want you to live for me. God can hurt you really bad, worse than the devil could ever invent. Listen, anybody that invented hell and all the torment to torment his enemies, just think of how he did that. Depriving them of their freedom, prisons, that's what we saw on Sunday. Outer darkness that drives people mad out of their brain. Solitary confinement. Who invented all that? I many times tell people that if God is a consuming fire, what fire is it in hell? Or do you think God got the fire in hell hot enough to burn his enemies out of himself? Hell's inside of God. He can encapsulate it. He's big enough. He can hold it in there. I know this is too much for some of you. We'll just leave it at that. There is no fire outside of God. He is it. When God created the sun, He just took a little bit of fire from Him and made a fireball. Put it in the sky and said, now you're going to stay right here floating through the air. Amen? Everything that has light has God in it. Came from God. We came from God. Light comes from God. The sun, everything created, came out from God. People say that God created something from nothing. They're crazy. God created something from something. He started with Himself. Everything came out of God. I just want to say and go on record very clearly as saying God's going to mess with you until you surrender your flesh to Him. And He's willing to fight your whole life through. And I'll say this about God. He'll give you some recess time. Isn't He good? He'll squeeze till you can't take anymore, and then He'll back off a little bit. And then he'll squeeze, squeeze, squeeze some more. And one thing I like about God, he's very focused. He focuses on one squeeze at a time. In other words, if he's after something, he's after just that something. He'll leave all the rest of the somethings alone, but he is going to squeeze you on that something until you see it in your soup when you eat it. You'll see it in your breakfast. You'll see it in your salad. You'll see it when you're outdoors. You'll see it when you're riding in your car. He's after that, and he's after that, and he's after that, and he's after that. And after he's been after that for a long while, and you refuse to go down and give up, he's going to hurt you. He's going to put his hand in your thigh. The thigh is our strength. God's going to hurt you in your strength. He's going to weaken you. There's going to be consequences that follow your life. And some of you are going to follow you all your life. Some whoops are there for life. Some divorces, some breakup of families stay that way for life. And you got these nice floating thoughts that go through you. Every time you go to walk and make a step, you remember Peniel. You remember the day that God fought with you and you wouldn't give up on something. He had to hurt you. And most times, like Jacob, after he hurts you, we discover that it's a very smart thing to surrender to God. And so we surrender to the Holy Spirit until our next Peniel encounter. In verse 28, we covered up to 27, so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." God has to bring you to a place of confession and recognition of who and what you are. You will often hear from people who have been and had experiences in Peniel. You will often hear them say these words, "Oh, we're just a bunch of garbage. We're worthless. There's nothing good in us." You say, how can people talk about themselves like that when the spirit of the world tells you, you know what, you need to reassure yourself, to build your self-esteem and to tell yourself how good you are, look in the mirror and tell you, I can do this, you're great, man, you look good today, and just strengthen yourself and build your ego up and do all that. God's on a crash party for that. He doesn't like any of that. What he wants to do when he's got you squeezed down and pinned down and he's wrestling with you, he wants to know real good whether you really know what it is he's looking at. If you really know what it is you are, and whether you're honest enough to be honest with God. See, Peniel has all to do with light. It has all to do with transparency. It has all to do with honesty. And when God comes in, he's got him pinned down. He says, okay, now that I've got you pinned down, and I want you to surrender this flesh life and do what I want you to do. He's got him pinned down. He said, now what's your name? What's your nature? Who are you really? Jacob could have said, I'm Abraham's grandson. I'm Isaac and Rebekah's son, the child of promise. He could have said, I'm the one that God chose, that all the people of the world that come out from my loins. God was checking Jacob out. Jacob says, I'm just a supplanter. I'm just a deceiver. I'm a no good. God says, I can do something with this. Do you know why God wrestles with you? To bring you to a place where you know who you are, what you really are, instead of trying to hide behind this facade. Facade, as one movie put it. You put it in a such a way that God brings you to the place where you have no hiding place, no mask, no anything, just raw reality. And you say, God, I know that in me there's no good thing. I agree with you. You said that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there's no good thing in man that ever we should speak of, but one thing good there is in me. I have God in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. That's good. I have the precious Lamb of God dwelling in me. That is a good thing. God says, Jacob, I'm going to do something. I'm going to change your personality. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your nature. I'm not going to leave you that way. I don't like no goods. I just want you to admit what you really were without me. Now I'm going to go about and change your name. And so God changed his name. Curiously enough, Jacob was ruling like the flesh would rule. You see, this is what our carnal nature would do on a job. Kill whoever you have to kill to climb that ladder. Amen? Isn't that how we are? That's how Jacob was. God says, I'm going to change your name, Jacob, to Israel. Israel. Which actually is two words, rule as God. Rule as God. Israel. El is God. Rule as God. Not rule as flesh. Not rule as you would, not do things the way you would do. I'm going to change you into a person that will do things as I would do them. Did you know that the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth? It says that we will rule with Christ. He has to change our nature because God doesn't want anybody ruling over this nation like the ones we already have ruling over our world, our cities, our governments, They're ruling it as the flesh would rule it. That's why we have all our taxes, why we have all our unfair bills, why we have all these things. God is going to rule the world in righteousness, and He's got to prepare that for us. So He's got to change our nature and live within us. And that is why when somebody slaps you, you got to learn to be slapped and not slap back, because human nature is going to slap back. But when He's changed your nature, it's not going to slap. You're going to prefer someone else at your own hurt. You're going to pay your bills when you've made a commitment and not just walk out and say, you know, thank God for bankruptcies. We're going to rule as God rules, because in bankruptcy you got off, but somebody had to pay the bill. God is fair. He's equitable. And I'm not picking on anything or anyone. All I'm saying is that could happen to any of us. If God wants to hurt you, that could be one way He hurts you. Thank God that He hurts you, learn a lesson, and He's going to change your life, okay? He's going to change our personality. Why does God want to do this? Because someday He's going to rule the earth through His church. So God's got to get us to where we will rule with equity and fairness. That's why God wants to work in us now. And so God changed His name. Now listen to this. Verse 28. And the angel said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Now listen to this. Who was it that started the fight? Who's God saying now won't end it? For you have wrestled with God. Now God is saying, you have wrestled with me. But God started it. God starts it, but somehow or another we keep fighting. Give it up. God needs to change your nature. Now let's say, your name shall no longer be called Jacob but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Something changed in Jacob. Did you know that from that day forward, Jacob never ruled in his life and family the way he had up till the day he had an encounter with God? You never once hear about deception or anything else. When his sons, which had inherited the same thing, had done that in our next message, when they went to Shechem, he grieved. He deeply grieved. And he wanted no part of it. Why? Because God had changed his personality. Strong says under the number 3478, Yisrael means he will rule as God. Then, verse 29, Jacob asked him, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob. When Jacob asked the angel what his name was, did he get an answer? Because he didn't need his changed. He says, I am the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I am that I am. So why is it you ask for my name? What do you plan to do with it? What do you plan to do with me? But I can tell you something, honey, I have some good things I plan to do with you. My dad used to say these words to me, and I understood exactly what he said. He said, son, a river only flows downhill. If you want to do something for me, do it for your children. Why is it you ask for my name? Water doesn't flow uphill. You can't do anything for me. I can bless you, but you can't do anything for me. You see, God realizes that He is so beautiful, so wonderful. Everybody wants something out of Him. What could He possibly want out of us? You know, in this relationship that we have with God, think of it. Why would He even want or need any of us? Do you know why He does? Because we came out from Him. And everything is His. He loves. And will love to the end. That's why he said to the prophet, you tell my people that I have loved them with an everlasting love. And I will always be there for them. God might strive with you, but not because he hates you. God might hurt you, but not because he hates you. He just needs to change some things in your personality. And Peniel stands for those experiences that you will have with God and have had with God throughout your lifetime, where he does some serious character altering businesses.